All right. Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, and go to the book of Joshua. We will be in Proverbs, which has been our habit. No, we're not going to take it down tonight, my brother. I changed my mind. Ask my wife. I've been prone to do that. Both times I was wrong, she marked it on the calendar. Amen. Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter number 4 tonight, and we do want to just take a little while tonight to do some things. I want to be able to speak to the church about some stuff going forward and going forward in faith. Joshua here, not an unfamiliar passage of scripture for you, I hope. And how many of you listened to the radio and said that you had to be here tonight? You heard that on the radio? Thank you, Brother Doug. I see several hands and other ones that didn't hear it. You need to listen to our radio station. Anyway, so amen. But we did try to get a little bit of news out there to you that we were going to do some things. And I know many of you were busy in things tonight. But we are going to take just a little bit of time as God's people tonight to set some things that are going forward. We have the fall coming. And folks move into Florida in the fall, do they not? Amen. But there are a ton of people that are moving here, whether it's fall or not, whether we like it or not. They're moving in. And many of those folks don't know where they're going to spend eternity. Amen. And so as a church, we've been given a great commission, and we've been trying to work and to press forward on that for a long, long time, and we don't want to short that commission in any way. And again, I would say even tonight that God is always, I think we see this in the scripture tonight, that God gave Moses vision of how to go forward. God gave Joshua vision how to go forward, and God's always given his leader a vision of how to go forward for his people. But he's, you know, again, it takes fellowship. It's always been said it takes everything rises and falls on leadership. And that is an absolutely true statement. But as much as that is, the opposite side of that scale is everything rises and falls on fellowship. If the leader leads and the people don't follow, that then there's not going to be anybody going anywhere. And when we see God is again taking his people through the wilderness, he's brought them to a place now that he's thinned some out that wouldn't follow when he said to cross the Jordan. They had come to this place before. And some were willing to go, and they still are going to get to cross, but others wouldn't go with them when they got to this place before. They said there's giants in the land. And folks, we're coming to Jordan, and the giants are still on the other side. It's not that they're ever going to leave. It's God has sent us in to conquer the land. And again, the way we conquer as Christians, we don't do it by the sword. They tried to do that in the Crusades, didn't they? And that didn't work for them either. All right. But again, the way a Christian conquers is by giving the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone and letting them make a decision and accepting him as their savior. And all of a sudden, you didn't kill your enemy. All of a sudden, he became your friend. Amen. And so again, it's not something new, not something that we haven't studied before, but I want you to see here, and we're going to take several different things I want to deal with tonight. It's going to be different. I told Brother Knickerbocker it's going to be different tonight. He gave me that look, preacher, like, what have you changed around here? And I said, that is not the kind of change, that's not going to the different that it's going to be tonight. But I said, it's just going to kind of be our home, folks. We need to deal with some things and talk about the future. And so tonight, I'm going to pray, and then we'll dive into the scripture. Dear Lord, I come to you tonight the best way I know how, as your man, your messenger boy, Lord. I pray that you just be with us tonight. Help us as a church, Lord, to follow you. Help us, Lord, to follow your word. Help us to continue to keep on keeping on until you come. I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight to clearly give your vision for the future. In Jesus' name, amen. In Joshua chapter number 4, we see, and I will not go over the entire story, but I want you to see here that in verse number 5 of chapter number 4 of Joshua, he says, "And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark and the Lord of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulders, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones?" I just want you to see here that he is going to call this in verse 7 a memorial. Look at verse 7. "Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." Now, God did something that was very, very interesting here. He has 12 men, and these were man's mans, all right? And they take stones, and they not only set up some for all of the children of Israel, as they come to the Jordan, they set up 12 stones as pillars that when they come, they look at the stones, and when they are about to cross the water, they ask their parents, "What mean ye by these stones? What are these a marker of? What's the memorial here?" But God didn't just set a memorial where man could see and ask a question, but he set up some memorials in the heart of Jordan River. The Jordan River is not a crystal clear river. Nobody walked up like the keys and looked down and said, "Look at them stones. What mean you by them stones?" It's a thick, nasty river, but God from heaven, no thickness of dirt and dust and debris in a river could take away the penetrating eye of an almighty God that always sees those stones just like they are. And even in the scripture it says, and they're still there. So from heaven tonight, God looks down and remembers what he did for his people. And those stones, even if man had torn them down that were on the shoreline, there are still 12 stones that stand as a memorial before God of what he did for his people. We've talked about a lot of things, and even as I took the church, we talked about a memorial and doing the two-story. I just want to say, you know, we've had some difficulty with the two-story. Many of you know that. Many of you that have talked to me, we're still continuing to try to make it better. We want it to be not as much of an eyesore to the city or to our people. We'd actually like to use it in the future. And so we're not punting on it, but what we're saying tonight, many of you may have come in and wondered why the gauge looked different tonight. Many of you may have just been oblivious and not seen it, all right, and just thought, man, that the red line, if I had come in here, I would have come in and go, why is the red line so high? Man, somebody gave $100,000, right, over the weekend. But that is not where it is. The gauge is, we changed the gauge and we separated off the two-story from the memorial. And tonight I just want to talk to you a little bit about this memorial. We are called Landmark Baptist Church. Now there's a lot of things that can be applied to that, but a landmark is a memorial or a monument and sets markers. It sets things and boundaries. And I think in our town and where we are, that people know where we stand. People know who we are. And I want them to be able to stop by. There's a lot of people that stop by our tower and want to see just how they know the change that happened, or they want to see the building, they're interested in it. And I would like to give them so much more of a tour of our building than just seeing what man can do when he puts some stucco and paint and things on it, but what God can do with a church and a town. There's a lot of things that is already a testament to our church of what was done in that building and what continues to go on there as a college. But there is so much more we could show them about our bus ministry and about how God has preserved his word and about how God has done so many different things and how God has preserved a man and used him in this town for 50 years. There are so many things that we can use and memorialize that would let people come in there, and what an opportunity to give them the gospel after they've seen all that God has done and how God used his people for them then to be able to give them the gospel while they're there. So again, the memorial is something that I believe is important. I think it's something that we need to see done, and as we continue to battle the city on some things and we continue to work towards the two-story, it will come up again. Amen. But right now, we want to make the focus of our ministry not only the Great Commission, which it is, but this is something I want to see done. And I want to tell you why tonight. There's some important things. If you were to go to our website and read the history of our church, we celebrate our anniversary in January because that is our preacher's anniversary. That is the new preacher's anniversary. We did that purposefully so that we could have that big day and continue it on and continue on in celebrating the anniversary of the pastor coming. But our true anniversary of the first services of our ministry are November 1958. Next year, November 2023, will be our 65th anniversary as a church. We just had a pretty sweet 65th anniversary fellowship, did we not? Amen. And that seemed like a sweet time to me, and I think that it would be really fitting for us to, as a ministry, to plan on putting forth the effort to finish off the funds we need. If you look at the funds here, you say, well, preacher, how did you break that down? Let me just bare my heart and share this. Pastor Carter and I had gotten together. We estimated what we thought we needed to do with the two-story, and we shorted it a little bit, but we just decided to call it $200,000. And he said, I think Somewhere around 50 to 60 is what we need for to do the memorial. So now that Biden's been in office a couple of years, okay, 50 probably ain't going to do it. Okay? And so what we really want to shoot for is about $75,000 to make sure we can do it right. I mean, do it and do it nice and have it completely done and ready by November 2023 so that we can dedicate, we'll choose a date and have a big day and dedicate that. We'll try to do our best to have some folks there that can really, I mean, it's the city and some folks to be able to see it. And you say, preacher, you know, what's the difference? About $17,000, about $17,132. And Brother Randy can give you the cents later, all right? And so, but I mean, you could go through and look at it, but again, tonight, you know, you say, what if we go over it? Again, we still have other projects, and it can go towards the two-story, but tonight, the focus that I wanted to say, I just want to give you 3 points tonight about how we're going to see this done and why, how is it going to happen? Number one, it's like anything in God's work. It's got to be funded. We want to send the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We got to fund it. If we're gonna see this done, we gotta fund it. So many have given. It's been a blessing to see the gauge move. And so, first of all, that's where we need to make our focus and make a push as we make plans to finish it. We need to go in and finish it off and make it nice and make it someplace that people, you know, just all the nice things we're gonna put in there, so that they just, I mean, the building itself on that floor, it ought to be the best one. We ought to be able to take them up to the ninth floor and show them the view, and then go down a floor and just show them the history of our church and our ministry. And we need to finish that off. We're going to need men. You say, how are we going to do that? How are you going to fund it? Everybody has to be a part of the church. How are we going to finish it off? The way we've always done everything. We go and put our hands to the work, and we show up and make time and plans, and we give not only of our money, but give of ourselves and our time to see it finished off. And then when we finish it, we got to fill it. So while you say, preacher, I can't go up there and do anything. I can't do that. Well, you can work on some of the finished work. Some of you are dear saints of God that have been around for years. And again, you know some of the history of our church. You may even have some of the history of our church, or be able to locate some of those things, or even help us as we catalog those items and try to put them together and make a plan on what we want to do inside there. You say, well, preacher, I don't know. I think this is just worshiping man. No, this is worshiping God, because when you build a memorial, listen, God had men stack up some stones because of what he did. Amen. And all we're doing here is I feel like Pastor Carter and myself have been directed by God to build something and stack up some stones so that people that come after can come by and go, look what God did. So that generations of our church can go down and not just hear about it, but they can touch and feel some of what God did in this place. It's important to leave behind markers and leave a heritage to our young people. And I think that's what God has asked us to do here. Now you say, preacher, I see that what happened here with Joshua, and they crossed over, and they did. They crossed over, and this, you say, well, that's not going to be, no, that's not going to be the end. We can't just do that. We've been given the Great Commission. While we're doing this, and you say, well, you got a whole year to do that. We're going to have quite a bit of work to do to get this done in a year.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's going to be quite a bit of work to see that done, because it not only needs to be finished and done ahead of time so that we can set it up and finish it off nice with the furniture and the things that we want to put in there. So it's going to take time. And you say, preacher, how are we going to do that? We're going to do that through prayer. We're going to do that through work. We're going to have to do that sometimes in the twilight hours. All the things that have ever been worth doing, sometimes we had to give of time that we didn't think was extra time. Sometimes we had to give, and again, this building, when I hear my pastor tell the stories about it was 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, I was patching some, you may not think that any of those ever have been fixed, but the drywall started to fall off of there, and I said, this thing just, it won't hold drywall like anything, preacher. I was aggravated with it. I was trying to figure out what kind of glue I could glue it to the wall with and everything else, and he said, well, we slapped that up at about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We were just worried about having church the next morning, getting it done. Because we were having services the next morning and we had to have it done. So we got it up and then got it painted and had church the next day. And you say, well, what have we done? Well, then he revealed that I don't even think it's sheetrock. It's like plywood under there. And they slapped drywall mud on top of plywood and just went on. Amen. And, you know, and so you say, well, preacher, what's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with that. That's how the work of the ministry gets done sometimes. So that people, so there could be somebody standing in the pulpit Sunday and people never knew that that's how it got done or when they did it. They just came and sat in the pew and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they walked the aisle and got saved. And again, folks, while we're trying to build this memorial, we still got to do our bus routes. We still got to show up for Sunday school. We can't do one thing and not the other. We can't, the tail can't wag the dog. The dog has got to wag the tail. The church is always, Sunday is always paramount. It's always the most important. This is something that is going to accentuate, or again, if the church doesn't stay strong, then what's a memorial going to stand for? If the church isn't still going forward and being strong, then what is the memorial going to say to everybody? Well, that used to be a good church. No, that's not what we want. We want to go forward in faith. Now, I want to do something tonight, and I've got plenty of time, and I want to just take some time with you tonight. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs 29. And I'm going somewhere. I know it's different. This is not the Bible study you probably thought you showed up for. But again, this is good for us on a every once in a while for us to just get on the same page and to communicate where we believe God's taking us, right? Many of you know the scripture and you could quote it. But I want to read it to you tonight so you can see it and mark it in your Bible. Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18 is... Now, here, pages turning. I'll wait just a couple more minutes for folks. We've been studying the book of Proverbs, and the Bible typically teaches us in Proverbs by contrast. It contrasts one thing against the other. And here, there are several things that are bad, but it comes to verse 18 in the chapter and says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And the Bible is going to teach us in contrast constantly. It says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. There's a lot of things in this life, and that law is not just the laws of man or whatever you could make it up to be, but it's the laws of God. And we teach the word of God, and we want to be blessed of God. And so when we have vision, vision is something that is required for a people. Even the business world out there, you know, there's all kinds of books that have been written on leaders having vision, then passing their vision on to others. And tonight, I just want to take a few moments and talk to you about some things coming up in the fall. I want us to all be on the same page, striving together. I want us to be pulling in the same direction. I want us to be witnessing and trying to see the same thing done. You say, well, preacher, we are. We're trying to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, but folks, there are more that we have so many different outlets and avenues and from my perspective, even if you don't, you know, maybe you are a Sunday school teacher, it's important that we know what the bus ministry is doing that Sunday morning. Because as we prepare and sit there with waiting to have kids come in and hear the lesson, boy, it would be paramount that we pray that the kid get on the bus. It'd be paramount that we pray that for safety for the bus. It'd be paramount that we're praying for other pieces of our ministry while we await that ministry to bring kids to us. We pray, you know, you have bus. Do you know that most of our bus captains, they'll get up and sometimes it's a college student and sometimes it's a worker on the bus. Sometimes it's a bus captain, but they'll preach the devil out of them kids before they ever get off the bus. I mean, they'll preach the gospel right there on the bus. You say, well, then I get to win them. Yeah, but again, sometimes we don't even think about it that that's the first time they heard the gospel. No, they were getting the gospel on the bus. They just didn't always know it. Sometimes they sing the gospel on the bus. Sometimes somebody will sit down and talk to them about, have you ever been to church before? And while they're in your Sunday school class, some bus worker's sitting in church praying for that kid by name that they'll get saved in your Sunday school class. And all too often we try to put it on us when it's always God that's doing the work, and it's always God that's doing the saving. It's always God. But as a church, boy, what it would be like if we just, I mean, we didn't just think about our own area, but man, we knew what was going on across the ministry and we prayed for it. And while we were working, people were praying for us. And we just prayed as a ministry, always praying, putting our hands to the work when it's our turn, but praying when it's not our turn, making sure that it's bathed in prayer and that the Holy Spirit of God is hearing from you. And then the intercessor in heaven is going, you know, there's so many people begging for that. Man, I'm just going to bless this thing. How about Saturdays? We're out knocking doors, between doors, knocking doors on your bus route, praying for senior patriots. Because again, you're trying to win somebody at the door and praise God, but and you can't, what is a soul worth? I can't tell you what is a 2, 3, 4 year old soul worth any more than a 90-year-old soul? Is any soul of any age worth more than another soul? No. They're all precious in the sight of God. They all need to hear the gospel. And every one of us need to be on the same page praying for each other. Well, what kind of a work God could do in this place, not just through the memorial. That's something God could do, but what kind of a church could we be if, man, we knew what other people were doing and we were just praying for it. Not just in our prayer closet. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. You know, the position of prayer sometimes, and I've been around people that think that you can't pray unless you're on your knees. If you talk to Dr. Rice, he wouldn't say that. He said you shoulder the phone. You get God on the phone in the morning and you shoulder the phone all day long. And you talk to him as you go. Well, we wouldn't get a whole lot done if we could only ever stay in our prayer closet. The prayer closet, see, this body is the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. And in truth, it's really just getting ourselves into a place of prayer. Not constantly asking for me. Not constantly lifting me and my needs to God, but really others. Praying that God would get involved in the work of God right here in Haines City. I want you to see here and look at it. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, this parish, oftentimes we've talked about, and if we're not careful, and you say, well, why did you say that about thinking about ourselves? Just in this, if we're not careful, we think that the people perishing are the people in this building when we're already saved and on our way to heaven. Where there is no vision, the people that perish are the ones that do not know Jesus Christ. And when a church like ours that has the knowledge and the ability and the opportunity to serve God, when we don't have any vision to see something done in our town, people perish and go to hell because we don't get a hold of the vision that God has given his people. You say, preacher, I think that's your interpretation of it. No. You remember the last time you saw somebody saved? You remember the last time you prayed for somebody and somebody else got to win them to Christ? The end of this verse says, happy is he. The happiest I've been in my life after salvation. Boy, I'm telling you, that was some kind of day when I got saved. I can't tell you the joy that flooded my soul the moment I got saved. But the only thing that has come close to that in my life is when I get to see someone else have that same joy. When I see someone else come to Christ, when I see someone else step out and receive, and they're not going to perish and spend eternity in hell, but when I see them come to Christ, and it always, you know, when on a Sunday morning there's people in the nursery and somebody walks an aisle and gets saved, that's not just the preacher that preached, that's the ushers that greeted them and they felt welcome, and the people that shook their hand and made them feel welcome and they were still open to the gospel, and the song leader that sung and the choir that touched their heart, and every piece of the service working together for good to them that love the Lord, right? They didn't even know they loved the Lord at that point. But those that were called according to his purpose, it was working good for us, because as much as he was happy, boy, I'm telling you, it's a whole different Sunday when I go home and eat lunch when somebody got saved. than when I feel like we striked out. And you know, when we feel like nobody walked out and got saved, and I'm not kidding you, I get in there. I'm not going to try to get depressed. I surely won't turn on the news because I don't want to get depressed. I want to text some of the junior church workers, and I want to find out where somebody got saved on the property. I want to rejoice because the Lord told me to rejoice in the things that God's done. You say, well, preacher, somebody, you know, when we strike out, that doesn't mean anything. Folks, I'm just telling you, we exist. We exist as a ministry to see people come to Christ. Amen. That is why we exist. And we can never forget that. Hey, can I get some of the men right here, you guys on the front row, come up here and take these and give everybody one of these. Families, if you'll take just one between you until we know, we'll put the rest of them in the back. Two of you guys go to the balcony right now and let the other guys do the floor. Some of you other men, if you want to grab a handful of them too and jump in, you can. Just make sure everybody gets one. This is, the front of it says this as it's coming to you. It says, forward with a vision. Forward with a vision. And inside it has that verse, where there is no vision, the people perish. This is simply a calendar of events from right now, kind of starting in September and going through the graduation ceremonies and everything here, and just giving us an idea so there's things that we can pray over. There are things we're going to do as a ministry, that things we ought to be at, things we ought to focus and maybe be a part of if we knew what was going on. On the back, there are the camp dates, just in case you got kids going to camp or you want to set those aside and be a part of camp this year. We set those a little early and wanted to make sure so folks could be a part of that and it doesn't sneak up on you. Now, I know I'm going to lose most of you because I gave you something to look at. Okay? But tonight, I just want to go through this slightly with you and talk about some things while you're listening to me talk and looking at that as well. In September, October is typically here lately been our fall campaign time, and it will be again where we have Roundup Sunday. But this year we're going to have baby dedication, and we want to do that, especially men. If you get, you take one and then you can be seated. Has anybody didn't get one, just hold your hand up. Let's go to them guys. If you still got them in your hand, make sure those folks get them. And so again, as we go forward here, some of the things that are coming up in September, actually, you know, I won't go through everything here, but the one thing I want to hit mostly there, we have the colleges having the back to school revival with Bob Ross. That's something that we do early September. We've done that for years, and we've really started to push and invite our church to come to it. It's a good shot in the arm for all of us to be encouraged and to go forward for the Lord. And so whatever nights you can be there and be a part of that, we want you to do that. And also, if you have time during the day, you can go to that. You'll see back to service. We're going to have a Sunday night kind of a job fair over in our fellowship hall. You say, what do you mean job fair? If I'm going to give you vision, I want to give you a place to serve in the thing. And so we're going to have our bus routes, have tables set up. We're going to have nursery. We're going to have all kinds of things. And you can go in there and just walk and see all that there is to do at Landmark on a Sunday night and see what else you could be involved in. Maybe there's some time that you've got open that's something you can be a part of, and we want you to be able to have opportunity. Sometimes we feel like there's nothing to do because no one's asked me to do it. So what we're asking you to do is to go to the job fair and figure out what it is that God wants you to do, and then talk to somebody about it and say, I'd be willing to get on a bus route. I'd be willing to work the nursery. I'd be willing to do some camp work. I'd be willing to do this. I'd be willing to work down at the memorial. I'd be willing. Amen. And one of the biggest parts of that is being willing. So as we go forward, that's going to be an opportunity. We did that strategically on the 18th because then the 23rd, we usually typically have in May, and May is a busy month for us. And so what we want to do is move our teachers and workers banquet to September so that we can launch with the vision for the teachers and workers that make that banquet a vision time, something that launches forward for the fall. So we're going to be doing that every September now, but we're going to put that on. You can see it there, Friday, September 23rd. The fall campaign, I won't go into it. It was heavily influenced by Dr. Pitts because we're going to go fishing. Amen. A lot of things going on there, and we'll have a lot of things as we talk forward. But these Sundays are just opportunities for us to invite people to come to church. We're going to give opportunity to invite bus kids. It'll be big days. It'll be times. November, after we get through October, November is missions month. We will focus on missions all the way through the month of November. And you can look at that, I've said before in some of the meetings, you know, you can see some of these that we're not going to be doing these all in the auditorium, but these will be some focuses for our young people to be involved with what we're doing in Missions Month. Pentecost Sunday, they'll be encouraged to bring pennies. All right, Nicodemus Sunday, they'll be invited to bring nickels, and we'll weigh them all out and try to have a big day with their change. It's good for young people to start giving to missions and get a heart for it young. So all these things are in the goal, and then Helps Ministries are going to come in right at the end like they always do and help us set the goal in the 1st of December for the brand new year, and we're on good track, and we've got to keep going, but we're on track here to hit our goal this year, and so we want to continue to do that. We'll get into December, and we have a lot of things. It's something, you know, this is something that you ought to pray about and prepare for. Christmas is on Sunday this year. And we're going to, it's going to be a big thing that we'll be here on Christmas. You say, well, I won't be. Well, maybe between now and then we can get that fixed in you. Amen? Amen? And you say, preacher, again, it's one of those things. We're going to do the Lord's Supper on Sunday evening, on Christmas Day. We wanted to make sure we put it on there. These are dates for you to save. Just like anybody else that says save the date, these are dates for our church to save and be a part of. We got watch night service, and that's going to be Saturday right into Sunday again. You know, I don't know who wrote this calendar, but he had to be a Roman Catholic. It had to be, you know, I don't know why we still follow the Julian calendar. Anyway, so as we continue on, a lot of other things here. January is a time that we really make a big push to see souls saved on Anniversary Sunday, and this year will be no different. We'll have a Bible conference and all the things that we've done in January and make a big push to see souls saved. And then after you see souls saved, what should you do? You see, February is a follow-up month. After we see people saved and baptized on our big days, we want to get after them and help them get in church and be trained in the work of God. We want them to grow in the Word of God, and so we need to get after them. Restore-a-thon is on this calendar. We're planning on. You say, well, preacher, you're making all these plans, but Jesus could come again. He can change this calendar anytime he wants. Amen. By taking us out of here. All right, but this is for us to be able to have vision for the future and know and pray for these events and pray for these times and Sundays that God could work and move in our church and help us. We're going to go on. You can go through. You see, in March, we've got a lot of things. One of the things that always is something that as a church we pray for when we kind of get to March is Soul Winning Marathon. And we want you to be able to know about it earlier. We want you to pray about it earlier and make it a matter of prayer that God will be preparing hearts all through the year for that time that we'll go and canvas a town and try to see people saved. Again, Resurrection Sunday, some of the big days that we're going to have. We have Mother's Day coming up, some of the graduations. We wanted to put them on there. Now, some of this is, again, while I'm talking about vision and as we get ready to kind of close it out, because I know if I don't have your eyes, I don't have your ears. And I gave you that piece of paper way too early, didn't I? Amen? I'm learning. I'm getting it, all right? So I just want to tell you that there's some things, you know, when change comes, sometimes we think all change is bad, and it's not always that way. We're going to be talking about some things in the future, and one of those is going to be Sunday school. We're not changing one thing about the Bible and what we teach, okay, in Sunday school. But we are going to change some of the locations where our Sunday school classes meet, not just for the sake of change. Many of you have the experience. Some of you have been here, it seems, your whole life. But some of you know what it is like and how daunting it is to walk on this property for the first time and figure out what door you come in. Because, again, if you've never been here before and it's your first Sunday, you don't know where you're supposed to go. And it's so important that we have greeters and ushers that will help people. They usher them to where their kids go and where they go. And so we are just going to reset the locations of our Sunday school. We're not changing Sunday school. We're just changing where people are going to have Sunday school at to make it more, if I could say it, easy. It's going to so that it's much easier or less complicated for people to, for the people in the back that are ushering to go. All of the kids under 2 years old are out this door. And then that's where you drop them off, and that is where you pick them up. And then third through fifth grade is over here. That is where you drop them off, and that is where you pick them up. And the same way for the teens. And this is not something, folks, let me make sure I tell you this, and I don't want to tell you, this is not something that is disorganized. We know what we're doing, but it is hard for other people to know what we're doing. And this is a ministry that is, again, next year will be 65 years strong. And so we have had growth and buildings, and we've had to put people anywhere we could put them as we grew over the years. And now we have the luxury of having enough Sunday school space to go, all right, I think this works better. Let's put them here. All right, so that is all that's happening. So don't get bent out of shape or let somebody tell you that the preacher is changing everything. All right, and it'll probably be because you don't like the classroom that I put you in. And if the air conditioning don't work like it should be, it's all Richard's fault. Okay? He likes it when I blame him for those type of things. But sometimes we do. We may not, again, change always comes at hard sometimes. Even with our kids clubs and in the fall, and this is something when we get back to it, we have another Sunday evening, I'm going to address this, but we're going to start kids club. And we're going to do some things a little differently. We're going to start kind of a Bible Institute for our people, pre-service on Wednesday night. And you'll be able to come in early and take Bible classes with our college professors. And it won't be a college degree, but it'll just be institute certificates. But it'll be less hours, but it'll be something where you can grow in the Word of God and get the same thing the college students are. But we know many of you are working. And I knew the college students are thinking, can I get in on it? No, you got choir practice. Amen. All right, you're getting the same thing during the day down there. We're just going to try to give some of those things. And so we're going to do just like we do with the college. We'll put out some classes that would be offered. Let you decide if you want to take some of them. And then if we don't have people enrolling them, we won't have them. But we're going to kind of lay some things out on Wednesday night. We want to have, again, we're going to have those classes. We're going to have personal evangelism like we have at the college. If you've never been soul winning and you don't know anything about it, you can come and just get fitly equipped to go out and to tell people about Jesus and feel confident about how to do that. So it'll just be a pre-service Wednesday night, and we'll have nurseries up so that you can take your children there and go to your class. We'll have our kids club up and running early enough that you can take your kids there and still go and take those classes. You say, preacher, what are you trying to do? Teach the Bible so that we can do more of getting after people with the gospel. You know, if you teach more people to go soul winning, there's more people to go soul winning. If you teach more people doctrine, you know, when you're at your job, you say, let me tell you what I learned last night. I was studying the book of Acts with my pastor, and do you know that Jesus was a Baptist? Amen. You say, I would never say that. Well, I love that song. That's why you should listen to our radio station. John was a Baptist, and I'm a Baptist too. Amen. And again, you say, well, how do you know Jesus was a Baptist? Because John baptized him. Now, that's not always good doctrine. But listen tonight, folks. This here is not some, this is not concrete set stone, but this is something we can plan and look forward to and prepare for. And if Jesus comes while we're in the midst of it, I want him to call me out right in the middle of doing one of these things. I want him to call me out right in the middle of the work. But this helps us get on the same page and get organized to a place where we can show up for more things because we planned on it, because we decided we'd be there. I want to be at these things because my church is doing this. This is where my family's at. I'm going to be there. As far as the memorial wing, I don't know what God is touching your heart to do, whether it's a part of giving, whether it's I can help put my hands to the work, whether I've got some things that I can donate to this. But over the next few weeks, we're going to really be laying out some things on who we want you to take things to, you know, how we, you know, when we're going to have a meeting. We're going to have a meeting after the service for our men and talk about who can take on some of these projects that we're going to do there. You say, preacher, This is a lot of vision. There's a lot of people in our town. If we got two or three people for every car, there's a lot of people in our town. Amen. And I know this here lately, and just like what happened on Sunday, we went out, we've been out knocking doors and telling people, but you know, we're having so many people in our town. One wandered up on our property and said, "I heard about what you're doing here and how you love Jesus, and my life is a mess and I need to be saved." And got saved. Folks, I want our church to be a lighthouse in our town that people, if we can't get to them, they know where they can come and get saved. I want them to come up here and get saved. And again, but I think we need to go after them. I think we need more folks going after them. And you say, "Preacher, how are we going to do that?" Let me just say this. I spent Sunday school over at the Spanish church this past week. We don't need to just do this in English. We need to work and pray that God will help us do this in every language in Haines City. There are so many folks and so many languages that live in our town that we need to let God work through our ministry to get them. And we have a Spanish ministry, but we need to invest in it. Again, if you speak Spanish and you're inside the room, man, you ought to feel privileged that you can witness to those folks in our town. And if you don't know how to witness yet, well, we can teach you. We can give you a brush-up course on how to get after them. And tonight, listen, not an invitation, but maybe right where you sit, just bow your head and talk to God. I don't know how God worked through this in your life and in your, but the way Joshua was directed of God to raise up some stones. Listen, this memorial is just doing one of those things. Seeing people saved and building something to the glory of God in this place, that's what's been done. Let's continue to raise up stones for the Lord. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, I don't know what God's done in your heart. We're not going to have an aisle walking invitation, but I'm going to pray here and ask God to do a work again in this place. And I want you to do that where you're at. Dear Lord, tonight, Lord, I know that tonight I did my best to just kind of share my heart with your people, Lord, and what you have burdened me with, Lord. And I pray that you would help us. I know this calendar is just days, but Lord, we need to pray for these days. Lord, these are times, then opportunities we're going to have to witness to people and to see people saved. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Help us, God, in this late hour and when the world seems to be wicked and getting more wicked every day. Lord, help us to stand faithful to your word and to the faith. Lord, help us to be a witnessing and a gospel light to the world. Help us, Lord, this memorial, Lord. Help us, Lord, raise up stones to the folks that went before and built such a great work for your honor and glory that you might get the praise from it, Lord. I pray tonight, Lord, I know there's many things going on in our town, Lord, but I know what's going on here tonight. If there's one inside the building that doesn't know Christ as Savior, Lord, I pray tonight that they'd go to somebody or somebody would go to them, and tonight would be the night that they get saved because of what you did on Calvary and how you had finished the work of salvation for them. Lord, we ask it all in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.